Genesis chapter 27, it's important for us perhaps to read the last two verses of chapter 26 to get some context here. It says in verse 34 of chapter 26, "And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." So the last chapter ended with this statement about Esau, who, remember, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 discusses this man Esau was a profane person. He was a fornicator, and in him was found no repentance. So he's exhibiting that here. He marries two Hittite women only to cause grief for his family. That's the intent here. And this is important because in this next section, then, we're going to see that Isaac, the father of Esau and Jacob, is now wanting to pronounce blessing. He's getting old, and he wants to pass on the blessing to his son. But it's interesting because, if you recall, back in chapter 25, verse 23, I'm just going to read this to you, that before these boys were born, before the twins were born, so to speak, it says in verse 23, "The Lord said unto Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." So that word has already been given by the Lord. So who is to be the blessed one? The second born, not the firstborn. The customary method of blessing in those days was to give that blessing to the oldest, the firstborn. But in this particular statement that God made to Rebekah and, of course, Isaac, was that this younger one was to be served by the older one. It's about the second birth, remember. It's about being born again. Being born in the flesh the first time is not sufficient for eternal life. That will lead you to death. The firstborn, of course, in our existence is the flesh. The second birth is the spiritual birth. That's the blessed one. So it just fits. But this has already been established. This is the important part. This has already been known by Rebekah and Isaac that the secondborn, which was Jacob, was to be the blessed one. He was to be the one to receive the blessing. So it's important we know that going into this chapter, because it says in verse 1, "It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he says, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death." This is interesting. He's getting old. He doesn't know when he's going to die. It turns out he lives for another 43 years. But I can relate. Sometimes you wake up and you go, "I think I'm dying." You know, when you're getting old, it just, you never know. Because so Isaac's feeling his age here, but he's not dead yet. But he's blind, and he's getting on in years, and perhaps somewhat bedridden, and maybe not able to do the things he used to do. But he calls Esau and says, "My son," he says, "here I am." He says, "Behold, I am now old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison." Esau was a hunter, remember. He went out hunting. Now, not because he had to do that for food, but because he enjoyed it, probably. They had plenty of food. They had cattle, and they had sheep, and they had goats, and they had all that to eat. So it wasn't out of necessity that Esau hunted, but he liked it. And so he would hunt venison. He would hunt all sorts of things. And now Isaac wants some of his venison. He wants some of his savory meat that he loves, you see. And now he says, "Make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat," watch this, "that my soul may bless thee before I die." Now, Isaac is intending on giving the blessing to Esau, even though he knows what God has already said. But Esau, listen, this is important. Esau is Isaac's favorite. And this will play out in your own life at times. Esau's the flesh. Jacob represents the spirit. In his old age, he's getting old, he's getting weak, he's getting tired, and in that, he reverts to his favorite thing, the flesh. For so many, the flesh has become our favorite son. It's what we revert to when things get tiring. Sometimes we get tired, worn out. You know, we don't see as good as we used to. We can't function in certain areas like we used to. And after a season or two or 10 of that, you kind of get weakened in a sense, and you revert to your first love, so to speak. And that was for Isaac, Esau, the flesh. Now, he wants to bless Esau for what? For bringing him flesh. Go get some flesh, some meat, and bring it to me. So I can eat, and then I'll bless you. Now, let me just say this. Wanting to bestow blessing, spiritual blessing, because you have been satisfied in the flesh, is out of order. And this is exactly what Isaac is going to do. Bring me flesh, satisfy my flesh, and I will bestow spiritual blessing on you. Is that how that works? No. Now, normally, when you bestow the blessing on the son, you would have a great feast, and there would be a great number of people gathered around so that they could enjoy the celebration with you. This is a private encounter between Isaac and Esau. Secret. There is no gathering around and no celebrating. Hey, everybody gather around. Today I will bless my son Esau. He doesn't do that. Why? Because he knows better. This has to be quiet between him and Esau. He's trying. Listen, Isaac is trying to pass the blessing off to Esau, even though he knows Jacob has to get it. And this is the way it is, isn't it, with our flesh? It's always kind of undercover. It's kind of secret. We do it in the secret times. We do it in the quiet times. We do it in the private moments, don't we? We let our minds wander. We let things go. We let things happen. We maybe watch things, maybe hear things, maybe read things, whatever it might be. We just allow that to be done. Not normally in a public sense. Isaac knows better. We know better. But when it comes to this flesh and wanting to bless it, it's got to be kind of a quiet, private thing. However, Rebecca heard. Guys, this will preach, huh? You try and do some secret, private kind of satisfying of the flesh. Uh-oh, Rebecca hears about it. Rebecca kind of just seems to know about it. Rebecca's, of course, Isaac's wife. And Rebecca heard when Isaac spake unto Esau his son. Rebecca heard. Again, Esau's the flesh, when Isaac speaks to him. Your wife kind of knows when you're talking to the flesh or talking in the flesh. And Esau, of course, went to the field to hunt venison and bring it for his dad. He wants the blessing in this sense. He wants what comes with the blessing, and this is important. Rebekah spake unto Jacob then, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now Rebekah, she wants to make sure Jacob gets the blessing. She knows he's supposed to get it. However, what she's going to do next is not in line with how God would probably have pulled this off. You know, we know that God promises certain things, but sometimes we decide we're going to get involved with it. So we make sure it happens. You know, Sarah and Abraham, the parents of Isaac, they tried to help God out, didn't they? By trying to make the promise come to pass that he was going to give them a son. And so they tried to produce that. They tried to manipulate that situation and created Ishmael. Again, another picture of the flesh. So here, Rebecca knows that God's promise needs to happen. Jacob needs to be blessed, not Esau. And so she's going to try to do something to make it happen. But listen, folks, faith is obedience apart from manipulation. Faith is not, "Oh, I know this is supposed to happen. I'll make sure it does." Mm-mm. Manipulating a situation to try and get God's best, it's not the way. And people say, "Well, what should she have done?" Well, she should have waited on the Lord. The Lord probably would have produced a different kind of scenario to get this done. Although, we're going to see here, the outcome was what God's will was. However, the method was not. And the outcome was God's will, because God's will be done. His promise was sure, it will happen. It's just that Rebecca is going to get involved with this, and it's going to be a problem. So she tells him, "Obey now, go to the flock and fetch for me from thence two good goats of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." Here's the interesting thing. Esau's savory meat was not unique. Rebecca could actually reproduce it by going to the flocks and just grabbing some of their livestock and just making savory meat. He couldn't tell the difference, is the point. But he liked the fact that Esau would go hunt it. You know, because Isaac thought, "Man, Esau, he's a man's man. He goes out and hunts this stuff and brings it back. That's just manly." Right? And he liked that. So it wasn't the taste of the meat. It was what really was produced in Isaac by knowing that he was going to eat something that was hunted. Huh. Right? He just gave him this. Huh. Now, it never says that Isaac hunted. He was just vicariously living through Esau. And, you know, I'm kind of like that. Some of you hunters out there, you're good at hunting. I stink at it. But, you know, when someone gets something, go, "Yeah, that's good." You know, I can't shoot. I've never shot really anything except for a duck or two. But I have a game that I can kill deer and everything on my phone. And I've killed thousands of them. A mighty hunter, see. Some of you men are like, "Man, don't say that. Don't confess that." So it wasn't the taste of the meat. It was the idea that Esau was going to go hunt this for me, is the idea. So she continues and tells Jacob, go get that for me, that thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now, again, the plan is in action here. It's put in place now. Jacob is going to take in savory meat, you know, and Isaac's blind, he can't see, but Jacob said to Rebekah, verse 11, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." Oh, Jacob, don't admit to that. See? Again, your dad likes hairy men. That's the idea here. And I'm a smooth guy. And you know, obviously, dad's going to know the difference between me and Esau, and my father peradventure will feel me. He'll want to touch me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Hello? It's because you are, right? And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. I'm going to be busted, and I'm going to get a curse, not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." Go get those goats and let's do this. So he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, some of his clothes. Now, why did she grab Esau's clothes? Because Esau had a particular odor, kind of an outdoorsman kind of odor. So she puts the raiment on Jacob, the younger son, and And then she put the skins of the kids, verse 16, of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. So she takes the hide of the goat. Now, goat, have you ever felt goat? It's not pleasant. Apparently, Esau had like goat hair kind of texture to him. He's just a really tough guy, but he's got goat hair kind of feel to him. He smells kind of funny. And so she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came in unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who art thou, my son?" He knows already there's something not right, because as soon as Jacob walks in and says, "Father, here I am," he says, "Okay, who are you?" He's expecting the voice of Esau. And he wonders, because he knows Esau's a good hunter, but he wonders and says, as Jacob comes in, Jacob says unto him, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." Boy, that's a lie. "I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may be able to bless me. I brought the venison just like you wanted me to." Now watch, Isaac's on to something here. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly?" How did you get that so fast? I mean, I know you're a good hunter, but man, that was quick. Now, honestly here, Jacob borders on blasphemy. In this next statement, he says, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." So he's lying, and then he brings the Lord into his lie. Not a good idea. And the Lord didn't bring it to him. His mom did. This was his mom's idea. And, you know, he's basically just, he's telling stories here. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found so quickly?" "Because the Lord brought it to me." Oh, Jacob. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou may be my very son Esau or not." He knows something's wrong. Now, I have two sons, Jacob and Daniel. And I mean, even if I was blind as a bat, I think I could tell the difference between Jacob and Daniel. Not because one's hairy and the other isn't. Or because one smells and the other doesn't. But I think I would know my sons well enough to be able to tell them apart. As soon as they walked in the room and said anything, first of all, I'd be like, okay. You know, that's a dead giveaway right there. But the point is, he's kind of being deceived. And so when you're being deceived by your own family, it's hard to believe that that's happening to you, isn't it? Why would my own family be deceiving me right now? So he says, "Come over here so I can feel you. I need to feel you, because I know this." Jacob and Esau don't feel the same. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. You sound just like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. I want you to note through this process that Isaac is using all of his physical senses. He's not using any spiritual discernment here at all. And it's because of this. He has already given over to try to bless Esau, his favorite son, the flesh, instead of going along with what God has already declared. And it will skew his spiritual discernment. It will mess up his ability to discern spiritually. So he's only going to use physical means to try and figure this thing out. So now he's already feeling his son, hearing with his ears, right? And He discerned him not, verse 23, because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. He couldn't figure it out based upon feeling and hearing. And then, of course, he's going to, in a minute here, he's going to eat the venison. He's going to taste. And then in another minute, he's going to bring Jacob over and smell him. So he's going to use his feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting to determine whether or not this is really going on or not. But you see, you can't use the fleshly ability you have to discern anything spiritually. It doesn't work. Isaac started off really well in his life, but he's not doing as great in his old age. He has reverted back. He wants to bless his eldest son. He knows that's not supposed to be the case. He knows that Jacob is to be the blessed one. He has a clue that this is probably Jacob, but he's not able to discern it because he's kind of blinded, not just physically, but spiritually. He's kind of crippled in his ability to discern things in a spiritual manner. Do you know that's true? If you are still clinging to your favorite son, the flesh, that your spiritual discernment will lack greatly. You'll have a difficult time discerning things in a spiritual way because you're using all your physical senses to try and live. You're walking by sight, not by faith when you do that. So this is a key understanding here. And so he says in verse 24, now this is just an out-and-out statement here that needed to be addressed with truth, but it wasn't. He says, "Art thou my very son Esau?" He's still having a problem with this. "Are you really Esau?" "I am," Jacob said. And he said, "Well, bring it near to me, bring me the venison, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him. So now he's smelled him, he's tasted his food, he's heard, he's felt, and all that. Now, the reason this is still going to go down, because it says there that then he blessed him. And he said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." What does that mean? Well, a blessed field in those days was a field with lots of livestock. And everything that goes along with livestock. You know, the smells of the field are mixed. So the smell here really is a stink. But it's interesting how Isaac says, "Oh, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." He kind of likes the smell. And honestly, folks, we'd have to confess at times, we kind of like the smell. You say, "Well, I know, I hate that. I hate the..." Well, if you hate it so much, why do you smell like it? "My life stinks." "You bet," I say. When you're in the flesh, man, your life stinks, but you kind of like the smell. And this is interesting. Oh, I mean, this should be repulsive. Isaac should say, "Phew, man, I guess you are Esau." But he's not repulsed. He's like, "Ah, the smell of Esau. Wow. So refreshing." Just an interesting story. So he blesses him in this next verse. Why? Why is this going on and why is this allowed? Because God's plan is going to have to be lived out, worked out. And God is going to overrule what Isaac was intending to do because God's promise will stand. This is key. The flesh will not overrule what God has already planned and promised. Now, you can be thankful for this. Because sometimes people say, I did this thing or I did that thing. I don't think I'm going to be able to be saved anymore. I don't think that the Lord's going to have anything to do with me anymore because I was in the flesh, because I smelled like Esau and liked it. Is that true? No. God's going to overrule because his promise is stronger, is greater than your flesh or your sin. God's grace is greater than your sin. You are not going to nullify God's promise by blowing it. By like Isaac, I've reverted back to the flesh, and now what? Now God's not going to be able to... No, that's not true. God's going to fulfill his promise, even if he has to overrule. And oftentimes he does. Do you understand that you're making it to heaven because God's overruling on your behalf? You're not making it to heaven because you're doing so well. You're going to make it because God is going to make sure you make it. His promise to get you to heaven stands. Paul says, I'm confident, I'm persuaded that what I have entrusted to him, he will keep it until that day and lead me safely into heaven. Paul doesn't say, man, I'm doing so well. I do so good at the things I teach and I say and I live. I'm going to make it because I'm so hot as a Christian. I'm so good at what No, he says, I'm persuaded that I'm making it because I entrusted my life to Christ. And even if I blow it, he's going to overrule for me. You see, we have an accuser of the brethren. His name's Satan. And he lives to just hurl accusations at you. Day and night, he's there. Look at him. Look at her. Listen to that. Look what they've done. Are you kidding? You didn't save them, did you? And Jesus is our advocate with the Father, 1 John chapter 2 says. He is our defendant in heaven. And he dismisses case after case that is brought to him by Satan. Based on what? Because here's the reality. The accuser of the brethren, Satan, is not lying when he accuses you. He's telling the truth. He doesn't have to lie. He doesn't have to make stuff up. Now, he lies to you about all kinds of things, but he doesn't lie to God. And so he's telling the truth, so to speak, when he accuses you. And Jesus simply overrules his accusation based upon his own blood and sacrifice for you. Do you follow me? He is your advocate. He is your substitute. He stands before the Father. And when Satan accuses you, Jesus steps in between you and the Father and says, I paid for that. Case dismissed. And boy, it makes Satan furious. Because he knows, like Isaac, he knows, man, we would have blown the whole thing. Isaac would have blessed the wrong one had God not intervened. Even though it's a sordid tale and Jacob and Rebekah are trying to manipulate the whole situation, God still used that to fulfill what his plan was. See, God's plan gets done. Oftentimes, though, it's through a person's failures. And he gets the plan done anyway, doesn't he? So amazing. God is so good. So this is the blessing that he pronounces upon Jacob. He says, therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Same blessing that Abraham received, isn't it? Now he's just passed that on to Isaac. Now Isaac passes that on to Jacob, even though he thinks it's Esau. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of this his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. Uh-oh. Awkward, we would say. This is an awkward moment. So Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Now, the question is, why is Isaac trembling? Is he trembling because he realizes he blessed the wrong one? That is, he was supposed to bless Esau in his own thinking, but he really blessed Jacob. Or is he trembling because he realizes now that he went against God? And God knows. God knows he went against his plan. And now he realizes God got his way anyway. And it makes him tremble. Could be either or. But he's trembling and says, who? Who is that? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before you camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Who was it that came in and gave me venison? And I ate that and blessed him. And he's going to be blessed now because I blessed him. Who is it? Well, doesn't he know who it was? I mean, if it wasn't Esau, let me think a minute. Who else could it be, right? But this is comical in the sense it's like Isaac is just plain dumb here. Who was it that came in then and already got the blessing from you? Of course he knows. And he says something very important. And he shall be blessed. This one that I've already blessed, he shall be blessed. And here's the interesting thing. Isaac, this is key, Isaac is now full on the food that Jacob brought. So there is no room now to take in what Esau brought. The Apostle Paul says, if you would be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're filled with the Spirit, there's no room for the flesh. However, if you're not filled with the Spirit, there's lots of room. But he's filled now with the meal Jacob brought, the Spirit. So there's no room for what Esau brings, the flesh. Great parallel, you see. So he says, I have no room to eat that, what you brought. And I've already blessed now. And the one I blessed will be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. There's only one blessing like the blessing that Jacob has just received. There's only one blessing for the one to receive. It's a full inheritance of all the things of the father. And it's just been given to Jacob, and Esau knows. So he says, bless me too. Can't I get in on this? And understand the picture. People say, poor Esau. I mean, the poor guy. Remember Hebrews 12. Verse 17 tells us that he's a profane person. And even though he sought after this blessing with tears and weeping and all the rest, there was no repentance found in him. He's mad, he's upset, he's crying out, because if you read through the blessing, there's plenty of physical blessing associated with that blessing. Remember, plenty of corn and wine and all the rest. There's position, and Esau wanted all that. Now, this is important. Note this, write it down, jot it down if you can. Remember it, lock it away. Esau wanted the blessings that God could give, but he did not want to be the man that God could bless. So many people are like this. Could you pray for me? They say. Your unsaved friends. And we do. We're gracious. Sure. I'll pray for you. But sometimes my prayer is going to be a little different than they're asking. Could you pray that the Lord will do something in this situation or that situation? Okay, let me just pray for you. But my prayer is going to be along the lines of a different subject matter. Lord, I pray that this situation will be intense enough to bring this person to salvation. And of course, that's not what they want to hear. That's not what they wanted. I just wanted the blessing that God could give in this situation. But wait, it sounds like you want the blessing God can give, but you don't want to be the man that God can bless. If I'm His, then I can receive those blessings from Him. So many people want what God has, but they don't want God. And God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God's the creator of the universe. He owns the air. He owns the water. He owns the food. He owns everything. It's all His. And people want what He has. They just don't want Him. Esau wanted the blessing. He just didn't want any of the spiritual things that went along with it. He had rejected that. And don't forget who really the deceiver is here. It's Esau. Listen, Esau doesn't have any right to this blessing. Why? He sold his birthright. Do you remember? He sold the birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup. That's how much he cared about the birthright. What good is a birthright? So here, give me the stew. I'll eat the stew. You can have the birthright. Who cares? And now the blessing comes and he realizes, what? I don't get all the stuff? And he cries and weeps and, oh, I'm so bummed. But he doesn't want any of the spiritual things that go along with God's blessing. And that's key to note here. So he cries out, and in response to him saying, can you give me a blessing? Isaac says, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. This is partially true. It was a subtle thing. It was kind of a tricky deal. Rebekah and Jacob plotting this. But remember, the blessing didn't belong to Esau anymore. It did not belong to Esau. It belonged to Jacob. So, yes, it was a means of manipulation to get it. However, it did belong to Jacob. That's important. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Now, again, this is the term Akab, not Jacob. Jacob is Jacob, meaning protected by God. Akab means supplanter or one who is a heel snatcher. Remember when Jacob was born right on the heels of Esau, he had a hold of his heel when they were born. And so they nicknamed him Akab, which is heel snatcher. And so here he's using the term that they nicknamed Jacob. Isn't he rightly named supplanter or this one who has tricked people? He tricked me these two times. No, he didn't trick you. The first time, you sold the birthright. He's not saying that. He's saying, man, I should have never sold him the birthright. He's saying, he tricked me out of the birthright. No, he didn't. Your flesh, Esau, which pictures the flesh, your flesh wanted the soup. So you gave away, basically, your birthright for a fleshly bowl of soup, you see. So he says, he's rightly named. He tricked me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Oh, Isaac wants to have a blessing for Esau. We've seen that. That's why he wanted to do this in the first place. But this is a key understanding. Are we supposed to reserve a blessing for Esau? Your flesh will cry out like this, won't it? If you're going to be letting your spiritual man, the new creation in you, see, we've got two natures now, if you're born again. We've got the new born again man. We've got the old man, who is the flesh. Now, your flesh will cry out when your new man is being blessed. It's just the way it works. There's a war going on in all of us, and the old man is just bummed when you're spiritually going through blessing. And so he cries out, and don't you have a blessing for me? Well, are we supposed to reserve a blessing for Esau? Well, not according to Romans 13, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul says, now make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires and the lusts of it. Don't make any room for it. If you make room for the flesh, guess what? And listen, if you do things in the flesh, guess what? You can't experience, listen, you can't experience some encounter with the flesh unless you made provision for it. Haven't you reserved anything for me? The flesh says. Oh, man, don't we all hear that at certain times? Haven't you reserved anything for the flesh? I mean, how are you going to have any fun? How are you going to have any fun if you don't reserve something for the flesh? I mean, come on. You can't just not be fleshly in anything. Come on now. Well, if you make provision for the flesh, you will fulfill the flesh. And the reason, listen, the reason that you fulfill the flesh is because you've reserved something for it. So if there's something that you experience in the flesh, then make no provision. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Toss it. Burn it. Whatever. But if you provide for the flesh, man, the flesh will take everything it can. It'll enter into every area of your life that it can because it wants what it wants. And Esau says here, man, haven't you reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. This is good. The spirit will rule over the flesh. I've made him, Jacob, thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine I've sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? What can I give you? What am I supposed to give to you now? Meaning, I've already given the good stuff away. I've given all the good stuff to Jacob. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept, but didn't repent, according to the writer of Hebrews. He wants something from his father. And his father, honestly, wants to give it to him. But Isaac knows the rules, so to speak. He knows the way that it works. And so he says in verse 39, Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be. And the NASB rightly renders this. So if your Bible doesn't say it this way, it should. This is the right rendering of this statement, because the King James actually has this, in a rare instance, wrong in the way it proclaims this verse. So he basically says to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be away from the fatness, not in the fatness. And he says, you shall be away from the dew of heaven above. Meaning what? Meaning you get nothing. You get nothing. So the King James reads this way. Isaac answered and said, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. Now, it's actually away from those things. Those things are departed from you. There's no blessing for you, he says. And it's confirmed in the next verse, just by the way. And by the sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. The term is restless. When you get so restless, you will finally break away completely from your brother. In other words, what Isaac declares to Esau is that you will only stand for this for so long before finally you will just break away. And listen, this is going to be one day, and we'll say good riddance to Esau. Our own Esau. Because one day, the flesh will not survive any longer. When we go to heaven, folks, no flesh. Your old man's not coming. And again, some people say, really? What? Why not? Really? Why not? And people get really concerned about this a little bit, and you can kind of determine that you're kind of attached to Esau, aren't you? When people don't want to part with Esau, it's because they're a little bit too attached to Esau. And Isaac is a picture of that. Oh, Isaac is bummed here. He's so, Esau, I'd love to give you something, but you get nothing. And one day, you'll be totally separated from your brother. And one day, our two brothers, our spiritual man and our fleshly man, will be separated forever. See ya. So when you get restless, you'll break that yoke. And so watch now. This is interesting. I'm almost done, but watch this. Esau then, of course, hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. He hates him because he's blessed. He got blessed, so now Esau hates him. When you are spiritually blessed, your Esau, your flesh, hates you. Hates the spiritual you. And don't get this wrong. Your old man will never appreciate spiritual blessing that you experience. Never. Your old man will always, constantly say, oh, what are you doing that for? Why are you praying? You're not reading your Bible again. When are we going to go have some fun? When are we going to go do something, you know, fleshly? Come on, make some provision. I'm dying here. And he's so mad, he hates Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. But what will he? When the story unfolds, will he? No, he won't be able to slay his brother because the flesh will not win. In fact, it is the flesh who doesn't survive. The blessing, spiritually, of course, overrules. And we see that again and again. But here's the thing. He hates Jacob because he's blessed and because, obviously, he didn't get the stuff that he wanted. Although he didn't care about the spiritual blessing, he just wanted the things that come along with it. But here's the interesting thing. Because Jacob is blessed, then, of course, Esau blames Jacob for his own emptiness and anger and hatred. This is always the way it is. He blames somebody else for his own actions. You sold the birthright, Esau. Yeah, but it's Jacob's fault. No. You just wanted fleshly stuff. Yeah, but, you know, I was moved out of place by my brother. I should have had something more than I have now, and it's his fault. Man, this is a society issue, isn't it? This is a culture issue. Everybody thinks that someone owes them something. I should have more than I have. How come? Because it's owed to me, and it's their fault that I don't. It's his fault, or whoever. It's my dad's fault, my mom's fault. I was raised that way. It's just the way it is. You know, I should be better than I am, or I should have more than I have. Really? Because you can live off that for a long time. You can live off, and it sounds good. Let me just say this. Your flesh enjoys saying this. It's not my fault. Say it once or twice. It just feels good. It's not my fault. I'm the way I am, and it's not my fault. I get mad at people, and it's not my fault. Doesn't it feel good? It's just, somebody else is to blame for every single problem I have. Whew, that feels so good. Now listen, you can go to therapists and pay big money. And you can say that all day long. Seriously. And then you can go back next week and say it all over again. And they'll take your money and they'll be happy to let you continue to say that. And they'll even tell you once in a while, oh, it's not your fault. Oh, love that. That makes me feel so good. Say it again, Doc. Say it again. Do you know what I mean? So Esau is simply doing that. Oh, it's Jacob's fault. Oh, I feel better now. I'm going to kill him. Oh, that really makes me feel good. And watch now. Watch. These words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Somebody overheard Esau and ran and told Rebekah, their mom. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself in purposing to kill thee. He's really getting comfort out of the thought that you're going to die at his hand. He's really having a good time with this. He lives now to kill you. That's his purpose. And that's, listen, folks, that's your old man. His sole purpose in life now is to kill you, your spiritual man. This is why people say, why does that person do such self-destructive things? Because the old man's in charge. The old man will set out and purpose to kill you, to kill your life, to kill your joy, to kill your peace, to kill the spiritual part of your life. He will try desperately. That's all he lives for. This is Esau. Now, he comforts himself in thinking how he could destroy your life. And some need to listen to this and not allow that old man to be in charge because he's killing you. He's destroying your life. And you have made provision for him to do so. So stop it if that's what's going on. So now, verse 43, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Now, Rebekah, she's kind of, in a sense, responsible for the way this turned out. Although the story fits perfectly with the flesh and the spirit. But she manipulated the situation. And now she has to send Jacob away in this time of distress because Esau is wanting to kill him. And here's the thing. She had to pay a price to do her little manipulation. It cost her dearly. Why? She never sees Jacob again. She sent him away this day, hoping that in a few days she could send for him because Esau would be calmed down, and she never saw Jacob again. That cost her. Whereas maybe if God had worked it out a different way, you see, maybe there could have been a different outcome. Even though the will of God was accomplished, the way that it was accomplished was fleshly in this sense. Because people got their hands on it. You know that psalm that says, be still and know that I am God. You know the literal rendering of that psalm is, get your hands off it and know that I am God. That's what be still means. Get your hands off of that and let me be God. Man, I hear that over and over at times. The Lord said, get your hands off of that. Let me be God right now. Okay, I just want to touch it. I just want to manipulate it a little bit. I just want to do something with this. Lord, be still. I'm God. I'll deal with this. So the price was she never saw Jacob again. And she sends him away, and she says, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which he has done you've done to him. Then will I send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Why should I have to lose everything? Well, Rebecca, because you mingled your own ways with God's. And that means there's trouble. You always suffer loss when you enter into manipulating situations. You don't have any business manipulating. There's always something that is going to cost you. And then Rebekah said to Isaac, in reasoning why she sent Jacob away, she says, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the way. And what good shall my life be? Now, what's she saying? She's saying that Jacob can't be marrying now a daughter of Heth. Who's a daughter of Heth? Well, back in the last part of the previous chapter, we read this. It says that Esau was 40 years old. In verse 34, he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. These are the daughters of Heth. Heth means the Hittites. So Jacob can't be marrying a Hittite, is what Rebekah says, like Esau did. Esau cannot be marrying anybody but a Hittite. That's what Esau is all about. Jacob, though, the spirit, can never marry a Hittite. Jacob's going to come back with Rachel and her sister Leah. That's another story. But not of the daughters of Heth will Jacob be married to. And this is key because, you know, the spiritual man isn't married to the daughters of the flesh, so to speak. That's the picture. Esau, he went out and married two Hittite women just to cause grief in the family, because that's who Esau is. He's all about causing problems because he's the flesh. But not Jacob. He will not be part of that. And Rebekah says that to Isaac. He's not going to marry a Hittite woman. And as we see later on, he didn't. So, quite a story. But get it down, folks. Read it again. Search through that. Find things in there that you can relate to and that really speak to your heart. But all these stories, as we unfold them, again, you see it, right? The parallels of what the New Testament teaches us about making provision for the flesh, how the flesh wants that so much, demanding, don't you have another blessing for me? Don't you have something for me? The answer has to be what? No. No, I don't have a blessing for you, flesh. I have no provision for you. I will not provide for you. The spiritual man will be blessed in my life. And we have every part in playing that out. You know, when the Bible says, put on Jesus Christ and you make no provision for the flesh, it's an active tense. You have to actively be involved in this. There is discipline involved. There is pursuing holiness. There is avoided unrighteousness. There is going after pure, holy living. There is avoiding fleshly things that want to take you down. Understanding that your old man does nothing but try and kill you and takes comfort in that. That's all he wants to do. Story after story, picture after picture, it is important. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings that come. Because we understand, Lord, you have painted wonderful pictures in these stories that are truth that we read in the New Testament, just verified. And we understand that you are bringing continuity into every part of the Bible. Through your Holy Spirit, we see now all these things that unfold, that teach us, again, the truths that we know to be so in the epistles in the New Testament. We understand that you have a desire for us to walk in the Spirit and not gratify the flesh. We understand that through these pictures and stories. I pray for each of us today that we would go home today with something that we can cling to and that you would enrich us in and grow us up in and further your kingdom. Lord, make us men and women that are seeking you out daily and walking in the power of your Spirit, not ashamed to say we're Christians, not wavering from that, not backing off from that, knowing that the days are short and the days are evil. And we need to be light and salt. And we don't have room for the flesh, Lord. We don't have any time for that. We need to be seeking you out and purposing in our hearts to live for you. We pray that this would be so for us. In Jesus' name, amen.